So you started writing songs actually in prison, as you said as well, didn't
Yes.
you?
I started writing, a whole bunch of stuff, journaling and articles and even pieces of fiction. But really, what sort of got me my first treasure possession in prison was a digital radio. And on that, I normally would listen to my favorite station, which is Six Music, BBC Six
Yeah.
Music, the breadth of music it has. And in particular, after I finished sort of my working day in the prison, doing various jobs, the evenings, I would turn the lights out and say, I'd listen really intently to the radio and what was being given to me there. In particular, I would often listen to at the time, Mark Riley had his show on the evening. It was the evening session. There'd be a lot of people come in and do sessions at most evenings. You'd be listening to incredible songwriters, I don't know, like someone like Sharon Van Etten or Sufjan Stevens or Richard Hawley. So, I mean, the people of those caliber, John Grant, and you'd hear these evening sessions and you'd hear them and you'd think to yourself, wow, this music is amazing, which I've never heard before. And these people are telling stories about theirs and other people's lives and imagined lives. And I just said to myself, I've got stories. I've got stories. And I just started writing and started songwriting. I became quite obsessive, not really, didn't know what I was doing. In some ways, I still don't, but it's okay. It still seems to work. And I just started writing and writing and writing. Then lucky in another prison called The Mount, came across another incredible charity for whom I'm an ambassador called Finding Rhythms. And this progressed it on. They would come into prison with a set of field recording equipment, a laptop with Ableton, all the mics, and session musicians. And they would write and record an album from scratch with a group of 10 prisoners one day a week for 6 weeks. And they would record an original 12, 13 track album in 6 days, from nothing. So from there, I found out the absolute magic, the joy of collaboration and collaborating with other musicians, other artists, to then come up with it with to take my songs from being one dimensional on a piece of paper to an actual finished track, and that was absolutely revelatory to me. And then I could see, well, okay, that's the way forward.
You know Mary Gaucher, the singer-songwriter.
I do.
She
Great
does a thing
producer.
in the US with other songwriters, and they do it with veterans, army veterans. So they go to them, help them express their experiences, and help people with their post stress issues.
Yeah.
And it's
Well,
just, it's the same sort of thing. So it's quite interesting how music can really help to heal in the same way.
so that in fact that the album you're talking about by Mary, which I believe was definitely Grammy nominated, like 2018, Rifles and Rosary Beads
Yeah.
is the album. And coincidentally, the same producer that's on that album produced our album, Nielsen Hubbard. So there you go, the connections
Yeah.
continue. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to
So
seeing Mary in King's Place in May as well.
yeah, she's superb. So before you did all this, did you have any musical experience before in
No,
your
nothing,
life?
zero.
That's
Totally,
incredible.
totally. So, like I say, it was. I did no inkling. All the things that were wrong in my life, all the behaviours that were wrong. You just realise you're just trying to kill the pain. Some of the pain of my service. Some of the pain of the behaviours that got me into prison. Some of the pain of past relationships, or past traumas. You're trying to kill the pain. And unfortunately, I chose things like military adventures. I'm proud of my service. Don't get me wrong, but maybe there's another way for lots of things. And so there or some of the criminal behaviour, I got involved in, or the fact that I used to try and kill the pain before we drank and drugs. I tried to kill the pain. You tried to kill them with all kinds of distractions. Distracting yourself from the world with anything at all. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to become whole. You're trying to become complete. But these things, material things, are never going to do it for you. But the thing that's done it for me now, and what I want to get across to people is it was finding my creativity. That's the thing that made me complete. That's the thing that gave me, as it is, and giving me peace, both peace and joy. And it's opened up such a world to me now, and such a community of people, musicians in general, but also specifically within, for instance, the Americana Music Association UK, or the whole association, with the people I've met within there have been incredibly supportive. So you meet these communities of people and you find a better way. It's simple as that. I mean, there is no better feeling than having a blank piece of paper and then suddenly out of nowhere you connect to the source, and there's lyrics and a melody that come along, and you take those lyrics and melody. For me, that was then meeting up with Ross Power, my main writing partner. I do write with other people, and I've written for other artists, which is also incredibly enjoyable. But the most enjoyment we get is when we write together, then progressing it on to making the album. So when I got out of prison, I was in 2018. I come out and used to start rebuilding my life, go back to my family's business, rebuilding my relationship with my wife, my children, and my friends and family. Getting the building blocks together. I thought it was going to be easy. I'll get out, be fine. We'll just get on with stuff straight away, and it'll be like it never happened. It wasn't like that. There was a bit of institutionalization that went on. There was some trauma from being in there. There were some very difficult and uncomfortable situations with either some of my fellow travellers or with the brutality of the system that I was placed in. I've got to say, as a society, we've got this wrong in terms of imprisonment. Not that I didn't deserve to go to prison, and not that there aren't legitimately people who are victims of crime should require there to be punishment. But to be fair to them, and I'm a victim of crime as well, I think most people are. But what I don't want for the people to perpetuate those crimes is for them to continue to do that. So I can assure anyone listening that the removal of your liberty and the removal from everything you've ever known is punishment enough. I can promise you that from the bottom of my heart. And the restrictions that are placed upon you when you're in prison and afterwards. Every act that should happen after the punishment should be rehabilitative. It should be to help the individual never commit those actions, those crimes again. That really respects victims. To really respect victims isn't just to shove someone into a human meat warehouse where they're brutalized and all they've done is just they're mixed with other criminals to then perpetuate the criminality when they come back out. You see so many people who aren't rehabilitated. One of the perverse things about prison is you are immediately assessed for your level of numeracy and literacy very quickly within the system. So you have individuals, so many individuals who are found out very quickly that are illiterate and innumerate. Now you'd think, wouldn't you, that the first thing you would do is to rectify that. So if when they come out of prison, they can actually access regular things in society, education or social services that would support them into not going back into a life of crime. But it just doesn't happen. And this situation just perpetuates and perpetuates again and again. I also feel that people will heal and become complete when they find the creativity, when they stop looking for that thing that's outside of them and find what's inside of them, the thing that's connected to the source or the universe, great spirit, God, whatever you choose to call it, that will give you your purpose and a completion that will ever stop you from looking outside again for validation and for joy. It's within you, and that's something I really want to get across to whoever's listening.
Yeah. Anyway, should we get on to the album that you recorded? Is that your first album?
So we're so incredibly lucky. So when I left prison, I went and joined the choir. Whitstable Soul Choir, and the person that ran it, they run a number of soul choirs in London and Kent, the UK soul choirs, Ross Power and his wife, Abby Gilchrist. Now, joined the choir just before lockdown. When lockdown happened, their businesses were completely knocked out. So many other musical businesses were. Ross then put himself online. We started songwriting together over Zoom. When that ended, we then went into his studio together, kept writing, initially thinking to write for other people. And we have pitched songs to others, and they have been cut. But we had this set of songs together. We absolutely adored them, and we kind of like we just we didn't want to give them away. We wanted to record them for us. This time last year at the AMA conference in Hackney, I met with Nielsen Hubbard, who was presenting a documentary on Oh Boy Records, John Prine's label that he had been embedded in with and made a documentary with the Prine family just before lockdown. He was there to present it. We got talking, sent him the demos. He loved them so much. He came back over all the way from Kentucky and via Nashville and made the record with us in Big Jelly Studios in Ramsgate last summer. So it's with Ross Powers on the keys. And he's got the skills of Charlie Morland on guitar, Eric Guy on bass, and Nielsen also drums on the album too. So yeah, but a 12-track album that we're incredibly thrilled with and proud of.
And it's called Beautifully Wasted.
It is called Beautifully Wasted, yes.